were born and died so many times that I can't cry for all the trailer parks and liquor stores around. The people here have lost their spark and the streetlights don't come on at dark, and when the light is gone, you hardly hear a sound. It's Veterans Day, but there's no parade. There's sunshine, but there ain't no shade. Waiting around, I got time to kill. There's a sucker here, but I can't see who it is, so I guess it's me. I've always been an underdog, and I always will. It's on disability, but you know it seems just fine to me. Good enough to bid on the dogs down at the track. They used to work for union pay, operating lifts that hauled away what this town made before the fade to black. The people here are simple still, without the jobs at the mill. It's quitting time before the day's begun. There's jobs around, but they don't pay enough to keep your eye from straying. We lost a lot, but I'm not sure what we won. The fence maker's a busy man, and the shelter does what it can. It's hard to lend a hand when it's clenched up like a fist. The TV ads beat us down, and we vote if we could get up off the ground. I'll ask you tomorrow, you could tell me what I missed. It's Veterans Day, but there's no parade. There's sunshine, but there ain't no shade. Waiting around, I got time to kill. There's a sucker here.
I win. Life is just life is just the way it is. I'm need to get some little more patience. I need to learn to search for the truth. And let me tell ya, finally someone that makes me sure. I wanna go deeper, ooh, I wanna go deeper. Ain't got no rushing, ain't got no hurry. Just wanna go deeper, ooh, I wanna go deeper. I need control the things I wish. Life is just the way it is. I need to get some a little more patience. Cause I need to learn to search for the truth. And let me tell ya, finally someone that makes me sure. I wanna go deeper, ooh, I wanna go deeper. Ain't got no rushing, ain't got no hurry. Just wanna go deeper, ooh, I wanna go deeper. Someone.
Barcelona City FM 107.3. You are tuned in to the sound of Barcelona, and we have some very special guests here. We have Mr. Jonas Smith and David Solar. Guys, take it away. Do your thing.
Honey, when we get home, put the paychecks on the bed. We'll cash them in the morning, buy some eggs and a loaf of bread. Spend some time with a bottle of wine and we'll make the most of it. One day we won't pay the rent, we'll pay the mortgage instead. We'll take a little off the top each week, lock a little away for a place that we call home someday. A cabin built for two, leave room for three on an anchor's line down in Wimberley. We'll build it with our hands and we'll use recycled wood. Try living off the grid, you know I really think we could. We'll put a garden in the backyard and we'll grow our own food. Two rocking chairs by the fire pit could really set the mood. We'll take a little off the top each week, lock a little away for a place that we'll call home someday. A cabin built for two, leave room for three on an acre's lot down in Wimberley. We'll take a little off the top each week, lock a little away for a place that we'll call home someday. A cabin built for two, leave room for three on an acre's lot down in Wimberley.
Beautiful, gentlemen. Beautiful. Very nice. Thanks for doing that. Jonah Smith, David Solar, live in studio. David, step
David,
right up.
David Solar.
David Solar.
David Solar.
Come on up to that microphone, David. Jonah, thank you so much for doing this. This is quite a treat for our audience here in Barcelona, and selfishly for me. Most people know you, obviously, from America's Got Talent and from your talents touring throughout the US and Europe. But I know you from my hometown, Syracuse, New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a little bit of underdogs. You know, we come from a place that's, let's say, a gritty place.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of snow. We get about 5 feet of snow and we just keep pushing on. So thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. It's really cool to meet a Syracuse native in Barcelona.
Yeah, man. And I tell you what, coming from Syracuse and seeing someone like you, and I've had a lot of young musicians this week reach out to me, you're an inspiration to all of us. A Syracuse guy going out there and doing your thing on a big stage. It's just super.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing to hear. You know, it's interesting because I've been playing here in Spain for 17 years almost. And you know, I've just released my 10th record, and I think it's really, I don't know where the inspiration comes from, but I think mostly it's just persistence, just staying in the game and keep doing it. And, you know, last night and tonight we were playing with some young musicians that came to their first Jonah Smith show when they were 8 years old and bought my records and learned them and got inspired to be musicians. And now they're great, you know, great players, and they're playing with us tonight.
We were at the show last night, Palo Alto Market. Of course, you're going to be performing again tonight at 8 p.m. Jonah, I had a chance. You mentioned those young musicians, a bass player and a drummer. I believe his name was Arnau.
Yes.
And he was just kind of like almost glossy-eyed. I said, "Hey, man, it was great. You stepping in with Jonah Smith." He said, "I had his record a while back. I've been listening to it, and it's a dream come true." And you got to admit, those guys came on and just jammed. They were super.
Yeah, we played some stuff that normally would take quite a bit of rehearsal, and that we'd never played together before we got on stage. I didn't even know their names until after the set.
Show last night, another show tonight. You're coming off shows in Amsterdam, Madrid. Monday, you're in London. Jonah, where does the energy come from?
Well, I really just, I enjoy performing live, you know. I do a lot of other things in music. I live in Los Angeles, and I produce and I engineer and I compose, and I do a lot of stuff where I'm just in my own studio. And it just, if I don't play shows and perform and travel, it starts to, I get itchy, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't do it quite as much as I used to, but I like to get out a few times a year. Yeah, probably maybe 50 shows a year or something like
50
that.
50 shows a year.
And perform, and it just makes me feel good.
How often do you make it across the pond here over to Europe?
Once a year, sometimes twice a year.
And do you see differences in the audiences from the States to Europe?
I do, yeah. I do notice differences. I notice differences in crowds, you know, just even across America, you know. I live in Los Angeles, which is one of the toughest crowds, I think, because they have such a great, like, you know, this great, like, body of work that's come out of there, and all these amazing musicians that created it, and a lot of them, the legends, are still there making music. And so I think, like, the live music fans that go see music, they have so much choice of great music, so it's harder to capture. When you go into the Midwest or you go to a small town, you know, people are, they don't have quite as many options, so they're excited to get something that's like on an international level coming to their town, so they're a little bit more receptive maybe. But in general, I would say the Spanish people have been like some of the best audiences I've ever experienced, and which is crazy considering like they probably don't pick up all of the lyrics that I'm singing, and the lyrics are a big part of my songs, but they're just so open to whatever we're willing to present. And they've never tried to like categorize me or put me in a box, because I do a lot of different kinds of, my music bounces around, you know. I've been making records now for 17 years, so I started in one place and I just sort of go where my muse takes me, so it takes me to another place. I started playing guitar 5-6 years ago and started writing songs on guitar, and now my new record is mostly me playing guitar. And those are really different types of songs, so they just are open to whatever I'm willing to present, which is something that I super appreciate, which is why I keep coming back.
That's awesome, and I hope that you keep coming back and back. Obviously, one of your guitar players is from Catalonia here,
yes.
So you kind of have that Barcelona connection, which
absolutely
is nice.
Absolutely, yep.
We're going to be seeing more of Jonah in the coming years. Now, Jonah, you mentioned L.A., and I know that you live out there. We've had many artists come through the studio in the last year, mostly from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask them, what are your aspirations, what are your dreams, a lot of times they say, I want to be in LA and I want to perform for the best. Talk about living in that bubble, the pros and cons of living in that Los Angeles bubble, and whether that environment kind of stirs up more creativity for you, or does it backfire when you're in that superficial kind of area?
Well, LA is a really big town, and it is kind of what you make of it, and it's also what you bring to it. So by the time I moved to LA, I moved there about 5 years ago, I was already pretty seasoned and had a lot of experience, and I knew that I could go out of town and play shows and perform and make a living. So I felt comfortable being there. I also knew a lot of people, because the longer you're in the music business, the more people you know. So I knew a lot of people already moving out there. So it was great for me. And to be honest with you, it's a great inspiration for me to be there, just to see and listen to, as a music fan, a lot of my favorite musicians playing in small bars and small clubs. And there are great writers there and great studios that I can work in. And it's been an inspiration. As far as live performance, I perform there not that frequently. When I lived in New York City, I performed, you know, 2 times a week or 3 times a week sometimes. You could go to different parts of the city and it's almost like you're in a different town, and people in that neighborhood will come out to see you. And, you know, But in LA, it's just very tough to like play consistently and draw a crowd unless you have maybe some sort of residency or something like that, which I am looking for. But so mostly when I'm in LA, I'm working as a songwriter. I'm working with people. I'm writing songs on my own. I'm recording. I'm making demos. I'm you know, producing sometimes and engineering for other people, doing overdubs, like any, you know, piecing it all together. I've just created a MIDI keyboard loop pack that producers, music producers can go and buy and use my keyboards in their productions.
Oh, where can people find out more about that?
They can find that at thelooploft.net.
Thelooploft.net.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest loop companies in the world. And mostly what they're known for is recording super famous studio drummers, people like Matt Chamberlain, Joey Warnker.
Sure.
So they're branching out, and I did the first keyboard loop pack. They just
That's
released
awesome.
Another one with Larry Goldings, a really world-famous organ player. So I, you know, spent time doing that and promoting that. And
That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's really something creative. Thank God for technology sometimes.
Yeah. I'm loving technology. I have a great studio in a home office, basically,
that
I can record world-class music from my home, so I'm grateful for that.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Jonah, for a moment, I wouldn't be doing your fans and Barcelona City FM's fans justice without bringing something up. So for a moment, if you can just bear with me, can we go in a time machine and go back to 2014? I just have a couple things. The way I understand this story is, you're living in Brooklyn, correct? Is that right? You were in Brooklyn at the time?
No, I had just moved to LA.
Just moved to LA.
I moved to LA in the beginning of 2013.
The beginning of 2013.
So I'd been there for less than a year when they got in touch with me.
So the producers, obviously you know where I'm going, the producers of America's Got Talent actually contacted you, feel free to open that beer, contacted you for an audition. And your wife says, Jonah, why don't you go for it? It's like right around the corner or something.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's basically it. I got an email saying, you know, would you come to, we've seen your videos. We know who you are. Would you come to the Biltmore Hotel on such and such a date? And we're going to give you a private audition. You don't have to wait in line.
Of course. You're not going to be one of those guys waiting in line for 2 days.
And so I said, okay, yeah, maybe, sure. And it was months away. Still, so then the day came and I had some other stuff going on and I was like, I think I'm gonna skip it.
Yeah,
you know, like it's just gonna take a couple hours of my time and it's probably not gonna be anything. And my wife was like, why would you do that? Like, just go. Like, what do you have to lose? It'll be an experience.
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. So I walked, you know, I went down, I parked downtown. It's a hotel downtown, which is about 10 minutes from where I live in LA. And there's a line around the block, like two times, of just people waiting to just do the cold auditions.
And you're thinking,
it's just a freak show. It's amazing. It's like guys on stilts and jugglers and like yo-yo experts and like just freaks of all varieties. And I'm like, I had never seen the show, so I just didn't know quite what it was. But I was just like, I like this already. I mean, it's not.
So you were, from the beginning, you weren't turned off. You were like, hey, why not? This sounds,
no,
sounds
I
like
mean,
something I could be a part of.
Honestly, if it was like American Idol or The Voice or something where like it's just singers and singers like singing off and getting in each other's faces, I probably would have been a lot more hesitant because I think singing is just like personal style, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like who can judge that really? I mean, you could judge if someone's in tune or out of tune, but outside of that, it's personal taste. So I liked what I saw. I mean, it was like a vaudeville act. It was like this variety show. And I could see that like just from the people lining up. I was like, these are just filled with crazy people, just, you know, big, giant guys in baby outfits. And and I was like, this is fun. I was like, as soon as I walked in, I was like, this is kind of fun. So I got basically brought to a little private area with, you know, five or six other people that had a private audition and were waiting to go in. And there's like a, you know, a panel of producers there. And you just stand on your mark and you tell them what you're going to do. And the guy that was sitting next to me was an accordion player that played like Journey songs on the accordion. And he's like, I did this last year. He's like, you're going to walk in, you're gonna play for 20 seconds. They're gonna put their hands up and they're gonna say thank you very much, and then you just don't know what's gonna happen from there.
It's so
maybe
Hollywood.
They call you, maybe they don't.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, well, that's good to know. They had told me to prepare a 90-second version of a song, so I went in there and I played my 90-second version of a song, and they didn't stop me. I played the whole thing, and then they said, "That's great. What else do you have prepared?" And I said, "Well, I didn't prepare anything else because I was told just, you know, I'm going to play one song." So I started playing my originals because that's what I had in the bag, you know. And they were like, "That's great. What else do you have?" And I played like three more originals. And they were like, "Thank you for coming in. That was great." And then before I left the building, they called me on the phone and they're like, "We want you to just sit down with another producer and do it for them again." And so I did the whole thing over again, and then they interviewed me, and it was like I was there for like 3 hours while they were just finding out my life story. And
you knew
all that
you
stuff.
Were on by that moment.
No, I didn't know I was on the show. They just said, you know, we're interested.
Sure.
And we want to know more. And then I left, and by the time I got to my car, the producer that ended up, when you're on the show, if you make it onto the show, you get assigned a producer, right? There's several producers, and like my producer had like maybe 25, 30 acts that he's focusing on and in charge of. So I got assigned a producer, and he called me and he said, "We want to fly you to New York to play at Madison Square Garden in front of Howard Stern and the other judges." Before I got to my car, I was like, "This is great." I had auditioned by myself. So then a few days later, he calls me up and he said, "You know, we've been watching your videos on YouTube. How would you feel about performing with your band?" And I was like, "This is getting better."
It's even better, right?
Yeah.
That's like, your wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is my wheelhouse. I didn't perform with my band because my band was living in New York and I was in L.A.
Stars are aligning.
Yeah, the stars were aligning. And then another couple of days later, they called me back and said, "What do you think about doing an original song?" And I was like,
"Even better.
This is getting even better." Yeah, this is amazing. So the first audition, the live audition that, you know, aired on the show, I think it was in April maybe of 2014. And it was at Madison Square Garden. It's really kind of crazy how they do it. I mean, they're very professional. They know what they're doing. But at the same time, like, they're trying to get crazy stuff to happen. So they're really just throwing you out there. You know, 1 minute you're just in a group of 1,000 people or whatever in a lobby, and then they're like, "All right, come with me." And then next thing you know, they're like pushing you out on stage. You're like, "Oh, shh." You know?
Yeah. And you're there.
And you're there, and there's the judges, and there's a crowd of people, and everyone's clapping, and they're like, "What are you going to do?"
Now,
and it's go time.
You obviously, you'd been a performer. They kind of pushed on the show your insurance salesman and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you had been performing. You know, I've read about all that. I think maybe you weren't even so happy with the way they portrayed you on the show. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think I went into it knowing what they were going to do.
They kind of have.
I'm seasoned enough to know that they want. It's not just about your talent. It's about a story. Yeah. So I gave them that. You know, I told them about that, and I let them do it.
So
you know?
You're out there, Madison Square Garden, big lights. There's,
yeah.
You know, there's. Is that the moment when you have Howard Stern, you have Mel B,
yeah.
You have help me out here,
Howie Mandel,
and Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
Does your heart just jump at that moment, or are you just like so confident in your music? These are your tunes.
Well, I felt pretty good about it actually, because I was playing one of my songs, and it's a song I've performed a million times, and I just had to. The hard part about that was cutting a 7-minute song down to 90 seconds, and then of that 90 seconds that we performed live, they cut it down to maybe 20 seconds, you know, when in the editing, because the first two performances you do on the show aren't live, they're taped, and then because the show airs, you know, week after week after week, and then eventually it goes live in the summer. So when they start doing stuff in the fall, the audition rounds, they're doing, you know, an audition. They did a couple in Madison Square Garden, they do a couple in the Staples Center, blah, blah, blah. They edit that into a couple shows.
And then that goes up to Radio City, right? Eventually.
Eventually, when they cut it down, so it starts with like 100 acts maybe. And then they after the auditions, even though I did the audition, I got a standing ovation. The crowd loved it. Howard loved it. And it was amazing. We left stage and we're high-fiving. The producer comes up and he goes, "That was fantastic. But just so you know, that doesn't mean you're on the show, because more people get thumbs up then make it on the show. So you don't know. They may cut your whole thing. It may just end up on the edit room floor. So don't get too excited. even though that was great and they loved it, and hopefully you'll be on the show.
When you went to bed that night, when you're kind of in that limbo period, were you like, all right, I just did my best, whatever happens, chips fall where they may?
Yeah, that's how I felt about the whole show, which was probably the right way to feel, I think. You know, I was just like, well, whatever it is, it was fun.
Yeah.
And I got a free trip to New York, and I got to hang out with my friends, and I got to perform in front of Howard Stern at Madison Square Garden. And
so now you're on.
Well, no, I mean, I had to wait like maybe a month and a half.
Month and a half.
Something like that. Okay. They called me and they said, we want you to come to the judgment week, which is where they take, I think, I don't even know. I think it's like 70 or acts or 60
starting
or 70.
To-
yeah. And they've called all of the yeses to the ones that they want to see again.
Right.
And you're just sort of hanging around in a pier on the west side of Manhattan, and they're filming everything, and they're trying to capture drama, you know, that sort of thing. They're interviewing people. They're trying to see if they could pit you against someone else. Or, you know, like there's little drama bits that I didn't care for that much that week.
Yeah.
That was like probably my least favorite part. But, you know, we just I refused to take part in anything that was too stupid.
The reality show kind of trying to pin you against someone and all that kind of drama stuff.
Exactly.
It's not for you.
It wasn't for me. And I just told them, look, I'm not going to make fun of some 16-year-old girl that's like singing.
No.
You know, it's just not going to happen.
You're not selling out like that.
Yeah. So it just so happened that the drummer that I had been playing with for years was not available to
do
the show.
Was that true?
Was it
that
thing?
Was it that last minute where they said, Jonah Smith, you're up next. Oh shit, where's my drummer?
Not quite. Not 100% true.
Okay.
Everything on the show is sort of true. So they don't just spin complete falsehoods, but they accentuate the truth.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
So I was playing with the drummer in the first round.
Right.
My friend Tony, great drummer. And Tony, you know, he had a baby at the time, and his wife was on a job, and he was like, look, you know, I have a kid, and I can't just be sitting all week at this Judgment Week thing just on the west side of Manhattan. Like, I got to pick up my kid from school or whatever, you know.
Fair enough.
And I was like, okay. So I was like, when it's go time, I'll just give you the cab money. You just get in a cab, jump up, play. And but they kept shifting the time around. They kept like, oh, it was going to be this time. And then they ended up like shooting some of it, and they didn't like the set that they had built. So they ripped the whole set down and pushed production back a day, rebuilt the set, and that set everything back. And I had already told them, like, I have a festival to play in Texas on this date. So whatever it is, I have to be gone by this time, and we have to get whatever needs to be done before then. And they agreed. They were like, okay, we're not going to make you, you know,
miss your show,
cancel your commitments,
right,
you know. So they were a little bit under the gun. And because things kept moving and shifting as they're trying to rearrange, Tony was just like, you know, I don't know, man, this is getting complicated. And I said, look, don't, if you don't want to do it, if you're not, you know, both feet in, don't worry about it. I'll find another drummer. And he said, okay. You know, he's like, you know, he was cool about it. He's like, if you absolutely need me, I'll figure something out. I'll get there. And
you're in New York City. You have some connections, musical connections.
Yeah.
What do? Get on the phone. I need a drummer. We're going live. We're going on NBC in front of millions of people.
Well, it wasn't live yet. It was taped. But basically at that point, I had learned that my drummer that I had played with a lot, his tour that he was on got cut short or something, and he was back in New York. So I called him up. And he knows the song, like, great. You know, he knows it better than Tony. So then they played it up like that I fired the drummer or that he, you know, something. You know, they played it up a little.
They really did,
because they saw me. I was in the room where they're filming, and they have audio everywhere. And so after I made the phone call, the genuine phone call, they came up and they said, did you just fire your drummer? And I said, yeah. And they said, oh,
do it again.
Amazing. Can you do it again? And I said, yeah, okay. This is my very first bit of actual real live acting.
Yeah.
I had to like pretend they were like, can you call him back? And I was like, I'm definitely not calling him back. You know,
I got to fire you again.
Yeah, but I just did it like with the phone. Okay. The phone was off, you know, and I pretended like I was talking to him.
Show business. You had
show
to do
business.
It. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought, I thought it was fun. I was like laughing about it, and I was like, "How was that?" They were like, "It was amazing."
I can't imagine.
I was like, "Wow, I can act."
I can't imagine your friend when he got the call the new drummer, I mean, that knows the song, that's comfortable playing with you. You get that call. What a call that is. That's
awesome. He was excited. And then he came up, and then, you know, they had played up the whole thing that it was a new drummer, like, to the show. He was a new drummer. To me, he wasn't a new drummer in reality. But they played it up on the show, like, this guy's coming in. Is he going to know it? Blah, blah, blah. And Nick Cannon's interviewing me, and I'm hamming it up. You know, he's like, are you guys nervous? And I'm like, yeah, I'm really nervous. I don't know. And you could see my drummer in the background going, like, nope, not nervous. You know, he's like, you could see him shaking his head, not playing along. It was funny. It was you know, interesting. So we did that. It's in a black box. Originally it was going to be in front of an audience, and they were going to have apps, and something went wrong. So it was just in front of this black box theater with the judges. They don't say anything. They don't clap.
But it's the celebrity judges at that point.
Yeah, it's the celebrity judges, and then they talk after you go. But you know, if you watch it on the show, it's just black box. You play. They say thank you for coming, and it's like, okay, and you leave the stage, and then you find out later what they said about you.
Okay, so at that moment, you make it through, you go on.
I didn't know I was going to be on. They don't tell you anything.
But the performance was great.
Performance was good. I had no idea if we were going on. I mean, there were a lot of great performers, so it's all just what they're looking for, you know?
Okay.
At that point, there weren't too many. I mean, there were a handful of joke acts.
Sure, sure.
But most of the people were talented. You know, that's the thing I liked about the show, is that it's, you know, they have some of the jokey things, but it's not like people aren't talented.
There's real talent there.
You know, if there is, like, you know, kind of lightweight talent, it's usually in the music division.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't be like a lightweight, you know, contortionist. You can't be like some sort of hack acrobat. You know what I mean? You'll kill yourself. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure, sure.
So everyone else on the show, besides maybe a couple of the musicians that are just like young, cute kids, like, they're all super talented. And
I love it, man. I love the story. I love everything. I think our producers are saying, you guys are pretty busy. You guys got gigs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We got to ask you to do one more song. We're going to ask you to do one more song. And then I got one last question for you after your song.
Okay.
Now, is this from your latest album? Actually, is acoustic, right?
Yeah.
Unplugged.
Yep.
Is this from your album, Stay Close?
It is, yeah.
It is? What song are you going to play for us?
It's called Compare Your Blues. It's a song that it's been getting spun a lot on SiriusXM Coffee House.
Coffee House. Love that channel.
Yeah. And it's a different kind of song for me, you know? This
awesome.
Is a different kind of record. We recorded it live in the studio to an old 70s Ampex tape machine. And so it's very raw.
Awesome, man. Here he is, Jonas Smith. Take it away.
All right. Compare your blues against the skies, there's boredom in your lonely eyes. Even when you're in disguise, you're obvious to all. Cold rain cracks a man, broken words are all you get. When your soul is coming up for rent, it's hard to make the call. But I love you so dear, so dear. Just don't tell me what you've done this time. It's hard to look when you can't see, hard to leave when you can't breathe. The joker hiding up your sleeve is gonna laugh in your face. The words you said didn't come out right. You blinked at the first hints of light. But if you lose your heart, you lose the fight to finish out the race. But I love you so dear, just don't tell me what you've done. Just don't tell me what you've done this time. Lately I've Say goodnight to your blues. There's comfort in your flying shoes. Search the back of your eyes for clues. Tell me what you see. Was it rope-a-dope or another scheme? Were the colors vivid in your dreams? If you play with fire, you end up mean. What's it gonna be? But I love you so dear, so dear. Just don't tell me what you've done. Just don't tell me what you've done. This time, all this time.
Beautiful music, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Yeah. You can see that and much, much more with the whole band, Jonas Smith, tonight at Palo Alto Market, 8 p.m. I'm going to be there. Barcelona City FM will be there. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Thanks for doing this.
And tomorrow night, we're going to be in London at the St. Pancras Old Church, also 8 p.m.
8 p.m. tomorrow night in London. Yes. And then you're headed back to the States.
Then I'm back. That's the end of the road.
Back to good old Syracuse, New York for Thanksgiving.
That's right.
It's Jonas Smith Official on Instagram, Jonas Smith Facebook, jonassmith.com.
That's right.
David, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate that so much. We'll be at Palo Alto tonight. Gentlemen.
Cool.
We'll see you soon. We'll see you in a couple hours. Everyone, Facebook, get over to Palo Alto Market. More of Jonas Smith. Thank you guys so much. Wave goodbye. Big kiss. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Peace.
Sorry that we have to.
I win. Life is just the way it is. I need to get some little more patience. I need to learn to search for the truth. And let me tell ya, finally someone that makes me sure. I wanna go deeper. Ooh, I wanna go deeper. Ain't got no rushing.
There he is, people. That's Jonas Smith. Everyone get out to Palo Alto Market. Thank you so much. Coming up tomorrow, we've got The Dating Game and the world's oldest comedian. You're not going to want to miss that. It's Going Deep with Billy Harfage of Barcelona City FM.
The things I weep. Life is just the way it is. I need to get some a little more patience. Yes, I need to learn to search for the truth. And let me tell you,